Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Feeling sluggish? Grab yourself a Cardomax Energy Intensifier at Cardomax.com. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson and former CEO of Strikeforce Energy, Cardomax.com is giving you that energy you need to help get you through the long afternoons. Use the promo code DB for 30% off your next four orders at Cardomax.com. That's Cardomax.com, helping you achieve your max.
I'm drinking it right now.
Right now too, dude.
I'm drinking the pink lemonade.
Wow, we had a 9-hour show yesterday. I am crushing it today. I had some of the watermelon too. I've been dashing it in there.
Actually, I mixed the watermelon the watermelon is the immunity one with blue raspberry energy intensifier. That's actually a really good, it's almost like when you mix all the Slurpees at 7-Eleven together,
or it tastes really good. Rink.
And then you throw a little vodka in there, and it's even better.
We'll be drinking tonight on Drinking Bros Sports. College football kicks off tonight, at least the good teams. Ohio State versus Minnesota is on tonight, as well as UCF and Boise State. I'm saying the good teams loosely with your team, Delco Dan, just because you're here, obviously.
Good coach.
Yeah, and I don't want to offend you. We're not doing that today, okay? There's going to be no offending the employees.
Fuck
today,
these guys. Okay? Delco is straight up. Can we get a camera on Delco Dan right quick? Because you straight up went full Delco with
your
outfit
today. You really did. Look at that.
I mean, I know he's wearing a UCF thing, and that. So he's a Delco resident that made it out of the slums and became an engineer.
Look at that.
At UCF, and instead of working for NASA, he came to work for Tetherball Academy.
I said earlier on RPR that I exceeded expectations.
You did.
Oh yeah,
you made it out, dude.
Look, I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Although, so is Tank Lawrence and a bunch of people. Reggie Sanders, Shoeless Joe Jackson, Jesse Jackson also though. So that's like,
well, he's a reverend.
Kind of went downhill. No, he's not.
He's a reverend.
Well, he's not. He's also not a doctor. He's like, I'm the doctor, Reverend Jesse Jackson. Like, you're not either one of those two things. I'll give you that. That's your name.
Sure,
but the rest is nonsense.
Can you just legally have your name changed to doctor or reverend?
You can call yourself. There's no law. What is somebody going to do? Show up and say it's stolen valor? Like, there's a group of doctors. No, you can be a doctor of anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to be a doctor or something.
Well, you can. You get an Dakota has an honorary doctorate.
Does he really? From where?
Fuck. I don't remember where it's from.
That's my dream. I want to get an honorary doctorate from Ohio State and make everybody call me doctor.
Well, the first step is to have Herb Street get you on.
Correct. College game day. Yeah. That'll do it.
And then I think that'll be, you can put that on your resume. Right?
Well,
softball game.
Yeah. So they'll usually, in lieu of payments, give you that instead of at the commencement. So if you give a commencement speech, they'll give you the doctorate.
Yeah. You're probably not going to get a commencement speech.
would there be anybody better than me? Come on, dude.
No, there wouldn't be, but.
Chugging seltzer live on stage.
It's a public university.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
We had a guy, I remember my graduation was like a fucking Kenyan guy who escaped some fucking, you know, whatever it was. And it was just nonsense, you know? Had nothing to do with my college or me or anybody else. And I was like, I'm going to go to Taco Bell, bro. Get me some soft tacos.
I never went to any graduation, not one, that I was personally. So I was the student body president the first time I went to college.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I gave a speech at somebody else's graduation, but when my graduation came around, I didn't even go. I didn't go to my high school graduation. I didn't go to graduation anytime I graduated college.
That's
not once.
Funny.
Fuck that shit. I'm done. Dude, don't bring me back to celebrate the fact that I'm done. I'm done. Being done is a celebration, bitch.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't have to see or talk to any of you assholes anymore. That's what I was trying to accomplish.
Welcome to fake news, kids. Unfortunately, I think it's real news this week. Most of it, at least. After 20 years, the war in Afghanistan is over. On August 30th at 3:29 Eastern Standard Time, the final flight carrying U.S. troops left Kabul Airport, marking the official end of the longest war in U.S. history. The 20-year-long war costs the lives of 66,000 Afghan military and police, 47,245 Afghan civilians, 2,461 American service members, 3,846 U.S. contractors, 1,144 allied service members, 444 aid workers, and 72 journalists. After years of sacrifice and suffering, the war ended the way it began, with the Taliban in control of Afghanistan. Over the course of the war, the U.S. spent nearly $2.6 trillion, that is trillion with a T, billions of which went towards training and equipping the Afghan military. Despite the training and funding, the Afghan forces were quickly overwhelmed by the Taliban, who took control of the country in a matter of weeks.
I want to address that right quick.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been a lot of folks pretty much across the spectrum who have said things like, how did the Afghan army collapse so quickly? Did they even fight? Did they even care? And blah, blah, blah. I mean, we know that they cared. I don't know how many of them defected over to the Taliban afterwards for lack of a better choice, and I'm not excusing that. I would have killed myself before doing that. But when you train a military to operate with certain equipment, certain support, right, and then air cover, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember in 2017 when Tim Kennedy, it was one of the first times he ever came on Drinking Bros, he was talking about the U.S. military has never been, like, nobody that's currently in the U.S. military has existed in the military in a time when the U.S. didn't have air superiority over everyone. We've gotten kind of spoiled by that. We removed the air superiority. And if you don't think that makes a big difference, look at what happened at Kabul, right? Yep. Like, the fact that we removed the Bagram Air Base and all of its assets before we started exfilling our civilians, that is the biggest mistake that could have possibly been made. And people are judging the Afghan army based on their performance after we removed all those assets, right? So that's not really a fair assessment,
right,
in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about all this, man. It's, you know, we've had a few days here to try to process this. You know, the U.S. has now evacuated over 100,000 people from the country. But there's still hundreds of American citizens and thousands of Afghans who are still stranded. I haven't seen anything media-related covering it or anything else. I know you personally, because of your connections and everything, gets sent some things and pictures and things that are still going on over there. But the rest of the world doesn't. And I'm not sure what's going to happen now.
Well, a lot of things are gonna happen. First of all, the idea that this war is over is laughable, to say the least. I'll be on, just so you idiots know, so you can go watch it, because it's, I know you like seeing this stuff. I'm gonna be on Tucker Carlson again tomorrow night. I'm not sure where it was pre-recorded, so I'm not sure where in the show it's gonna be exactly.
But it's only an hour. They can watch
it. Yeah, it's not that long.
Yeah.
The thing that we're talking about, the thing that I'm there to talk about, is the Taliban and how they say they're going to focus. Like, they're on a PR campaign, and the things they're saying are fucking preposterous, right? Like, we're going to be a more inclusive government. Mm-hmm. Now they're talking about how we're going to take climate change seriously. And some of the people from the Taliban are talking about how we haven't been able to be a part of the solution to some of these global problems like climate change because the U.S. has been bombarding our country. Like, you fucking serious, dude?
No.
You're really asking me to believe that shit? I mean, that's wild. So that's what I'll be on there talking about. We talk about a little bit more than just that. But that's the thing that people are, I think, missing a little bit here. This idea, this is what's happening right now. Biden and his administration are trying to ignore everything that's happening now. They're going to focus on Ida and the fallout from that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to focus on this Texas abortion, effective abortion ban, which is really fucking stupid to do right now. I mean, I don't like all this political bullshit that happens, the games that they play in politics, but if you're the Republican Party, this could not have come at a worse time.
Yeah, I talked about it briefly earlier because I got so many DMs about it because we live in Texas. I don't know why they did it. To me, it's fucking dumb, one. Two, you're not close to an election, and it seemed like it happened in the middle of the night. I don't understand that either. But with all of this, I don't understand it either. You know, with the Taliban thing in general, I mean, I've seen reports of, well, you know, we're deciding of whether or not we're going to work with them and recognize them as the government and everything else. And it's like, are you fucking crazy?
Well, here's how I know you're crazy if you say that. If you're naive enough to believe that the Taliban has turned over a new leaf, let me go ahead and remind you of Amin al-Haq. That's A-M-I-N. So you can look it up. A-M-I-N space A-L space H-A-Q. He was Osama bin Laden's bodyguard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there when 9/11 was planned. He was with bin Laden when it was executed. Existed with bin Laden for a while until we finally arrested him in 2008, and he went into a Pakistani prison. Now, 3 months after Rob O'Neill pulled a bullet through Osama bin Laden's brain, this dude gets released from the Pakistani prison under some dubious conditions. I don't know if he was an asset for the agency or what, because that's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, you get released, and all of a sudden, or your fucking old boss gets murked, the most wanted man on earth, and all of a sudden you're walking free 3 months later. Maybe that was a thumb in the eye to America for operating inside of Pakistan, which pissed the ISI. Who knows? But this week, we have video of him driving around freely, openly inside of Afghanistan with a Taliban escort, with a Taliban flag, right? So if you think the Taliban is some political organization that's been misunderstood, no. The chief security officer from Al-Qaeda, who is there and part of planning the 9/11 terror attacks, is now there with them. Right. So get fucked with that bullshit.
Yeah, and President Biden has promised that any U.S. citizens...
Can we start saying president in quotations?
Yeah, we can use air quotes.
Right? Like, I started... towards the middle of his presidency, I stopped capitalizing the B in Bush, which I thought was appropriate. And I think now president is probably the best way to say that. Because this guy's... the lights aren't on, man.
No, he's promised that U.S. citizens still in Afghanistan will be evacuated, but without a U.S. military presence, like without a presence there, the fate of these guys is kind of up to what the Taliban diplomacy at this point, right? Like, I don't understand who you're going to be working with, and what's that phone call? What do you who's the guy you call there?
I'm speculating here, but just considering how fucking stupid these people are. This is what I think. I think that the Biden administration was like, all right, let's get rid of the conflict and go back to diplomacy, right? But you cannot use diplomacy on an organization that drives around and rounds up women and children and either rapes or murders or both.
Right.
Like, there's no diplomatic conversation to be had there. Those people need to be annihilated off of the face of the earth. So that isn't going to happen. But that's what they think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... in order to make that palatable for the people in the United States, you have to ignore their fucking shit, right? You have to try to help in rebranding them, because for the Biden administration and the future of the Democratic Party, the other solution is to just say, hey, you know what? Fuck these people. We're not going to do anything over there. And then Russia, China, Pakistan, grab all that shit, which is about, like we talked about the other day, somewhere around $150 to $160 trillion worth of resources. You know what I mean? So that's their two options, and they think that diplomacy is going to work. They think they're going to be able to fool people into believing that the Taliban used to be bad, but now they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's like, well, what changed? Ah, nothing, man. They just became better people when they were hiding in the mountains. All those
Maybe days. They got a bunch. They went to fucking Target and got a bunch of fucking live, laugh, love signs and put them up. Maybe they stopped by Waco and got some Chip and Joanna Gaines stuff. And now
just put them in the caves.
Or they read one of Joel Osteen's books. They're like, oh, shit, dude.
It'd be great. Yeah.
Now I've got purpose to drive my life.
Well, they still watch DVDs. So maybe they got the secret. They got a hold of the secret over there. And
you need a DVD player to fucking do that.
Yeah, you got some vision boards.
Who is that? Ty Pennington? Isn't that guy's name? Ty Pennington?
Ty Pennington.
Don't just stare at me. Look it up, motherfucker.
He's the home makeover guy. Yeah.
He does that vision board bullshit. I'm pretty sure. Not that he created it. I'm just saying, I think he does that.
Sean just froze like a fucking deer.
Seriously,
in the
dude. That's why I got these Nerf guns. I need to get this one up so I can shoot him in the face next time that happens.
Hot Bob is out. He had his baby yesterday, so congratulations.
Yeah, he said he watched the Braves game with his baby last night. That's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he send you a picture?
No, I don't want a picture of anybody's fucking kids.
I haven't seen the baby. Have you seen the baby?
I've seen photos of the baby.
Yeah. Oh, is it fucked up or is it normal? So I feel like the fact that he hasn't sent out pictures to everybody means it might be.
It actually looks like a normal child, so I question whether or not Rob's the father.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the problem right there. Yeah. It doesn't look like him, and he's afraid to show people.
Mm-hmm. The first photo he did send me, though, was a picture of the placenta. So yeah, that was fun.
You can make a stew out of that. They do it in Canada all the time.
Where are we in the negotiations over the naming rights for the child?
Well, that depends on whether or not he is committed to the podcast.
By the podcast, you mean Softcore History?
Yeah. We're trying to lock down that sponsorship.
They're trying to lock down Liquid IV, and obviously the child's name is Rob Fox the Fourth. So they want to name
Rob
it
Fox Liquid IV.
Yeah, Rob Fox Liquid IV. So that'd be great.
I don't see the problem.
I don't either. But in the meantime, it's promo code Drinker Bros for 25% off of Liquid IV. If you want that, liquidiv.com. But if he wants to, help out your podcast, he's got to sponsor up the baby.
Right. So anyways, back to the fucking point of this show. another rung in the fucking ladder, I suppose, of incompetence here. Is the way they pulled out. We talked about it. Pulling the air assets. Everybody's talked about this ad nauseum. But pulling the air assets out of Bagram, which is our number one defensive weapon in the country. Number one offensive weapon, too, probably. Pulling those people out. Just the organization and planning and execution of all this doesn't make any sense. Like, it is exactly the opposite of what you would normally do, which raises a lot of questions. In the final weeks of the war, the U.S. evacuated over 100,000 people.
Yep.
Like you say that, like that's like setting your house on fire and bragging about how quickly you put the fire out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. Like you wouldn't brag about that. Anyways.
And it could have been done again.
Well, he's been president for 6 months.
Yeah.
So this idea that it just snuck, like, I inherited this mess from my predecessor.
Yeah.
You couldn't get everybody out and so you couldn't arrange air travel for 100,000 people in 6 months. There are like 3,500 planes a day that operate in the United States. Yeah. 3,500 flights a day or something like that.
And we left half of them there just for those guys to play with. So
yeah, well.
We had a question here from Timmy D, and I don't know if you know the answer to it. He says, look, I'm not being a jerk, but I've heard rumors that Tim Kennedy's group hindered U.S. evacuation efforts of American citizens. Can you confirm or deny this?
I can definitely deny that. That's nonsense.
Or explain what happened a little
so
better.
So there were other groups. We'll get to this. This is actually a story we're going to cover today, is Pineapple Express, that organization. If you want to call it an organization, it isn't really an organization on paper. But they weren't the only people trying to do stuff. There were other people, not necessarily on the ground, but there were other people making calls from outside the country and trying to coordinate their people to get through the gate, right? And a lot of people are saying that because Tim's group, and it wasn't even his group, it was fucking Mann's group, a former commander in Special Forces, not a fucking sergeant in Special Forces, because of how efficiently, in my opinion, and how brazenly those guys were operating, the people who didn't have contact with Pineapple Express, there probably were some people that got left out who weren't able to get in because of that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, you would assume so. There's always a competition to get people in. And what we know is that there were a fuckload of people at those gates who didn't, including a bunch of American citizens. So, sure, it's possible that because of their actions, some stuff didn't happen, right? But that's like saying, because you scored 25 points, I only scored 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, not to trivialize these people's lives or anything like that, but it's not like Tim and his team were out there boxing other people out or anything like that. They were just trying, they were getting names from various sources, myself included, and they were fucking grabbing these people and getting them the fuck out. And that's all they knew.
Yeah.
Right? That's all they knew. So, and if there were points during that whole process where State Department and various other entities were telling them no, and they did it anyways. You know what I mean? And that pissed some people off because they didn't go through the process. Well, if you were one of those folks that trusted the process, you see what the result of that was. You know what I mean? So yeah, after the fact, we can armchair quarterback this shit and debate how maybe it should have gone. But that conversation is quite a bit larger than Tim and what his team did. It's about this entire system breaking down and private citizens having to go fucking do the government's job.
Yeah.
That's what the story is.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that here in a few.
Yeah. Cause the other part of it is, you know, with Tim in particular, it's like, he didn't have to do any of that.
No.
Jesus Christ. dangerous as fuck, one, which we're going to get to after this, but two, you're on your own money at that point, and you're on your own.
There were some people, some that I don't particularly care for, actually, that ponied up quite a bit of money and resources for this. I don't know when that information is going to come out, but they deserve credit for it, I suppose. I mean, it's people that I really don't like.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. None of that matters. They spend a lot of their own money. These operators spend a lot of their own money. And, you know, I feel like every life that we saved is a plus one in the column, because we were just going to fucking leave those people there to die,
right,
frankly. And no, it wasn't Alex Jones, although I'm sure, I know for a fact Alex assisted in this, because I've been in contact with him. He's absolutely been helping getting people out.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Glenn Beck, by the way. Glenn Beck actually publicly raised quite a bit of money. Yeah. I think everybody knows about that.
Yeah. We got our first sponsor of the day, GhostBed.com/DrinkinBros, 40% off Labor Day sale right now. When you get the adjustable base and bundle it with a mattress set, you're going to get 40% off. You can go ahead and put pillows, sheets, and all that other fun stuff in with it, and you're going to get 40% off at GhostBed.com/DrinkinBros. Now, let's just say you want a mattress on its own, 30% off. Everything's 30% off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Put that promo code in at checkout. 30% off everything in the entire store with the promo code Drinking Bros. As always, they get a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. If you have decent credits and you can bundle all that stuff together and get yourself a good old-fashioned bedroom set, about 35 to 38 bucks a month there at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros.
Yeah, we've got something pretty exciting coming up with Ghostbed soon.
Yeah.
When are we? Let me see. When I don't think we're allowed to run this.
I don't think we're allowed.
It's going to be on this show next week. We're going to announce a giveaway, and it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid, and I can't wait for it, because I'm sure that the news is all going to fucking piss me off next week, and that'll be the only joy I have that day other than seeing my beautiful girlfriend, obviously.
Next up, 13 U.S. service members and 170 civilians killed in the Kabul airport bombing. Last week, the Kabul airport was hit by a suicide attack carried out by the ISIS-K terrorist group. What does the K stand for, by the way? I've read this in numerous articles, but is that just a different division?
I can't
of
pronounce
ISIS?
The name. Khorasan.
Okay.
Khorasan. Yeah, it's okay. A province in
Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. The explosion killed 13 U.S. service members as well as 170 civilians. The U.S. service members killed were 20-year-old Lance Corporal David L. Espinoza of the Marines, 23-year-old Sergeant Nicole L. G. of the Marines, 31-year-old Staff Sergeant Darren T. Hoover, Marines, 23-year-old Staff Sergeant Ryan C. Naus of the Army, 22-year-old Corporal Hunter Lopez, Marines, 20-year-old Lance Corporal Riley J. McCollum, Marines, 20-year-old Lance Corporal Dylan R. Marola, Marines, 20-year-old Lance Corporal Kareem M. Nikoi, forgive me if I pronounce that incorrectly, Marines, 25-year-old Sergeant Johanny Rosario Pichardo, Marines, 22-year-old Corporal Umberto A. Sanchez, Marines, 20-year-old Lance Corporal Jared M. Schmitz, Marines, 22-year-old Hospital Corpsman Max W. Soviak, Navy. I saw a picture of him, by the way. A lot of pictures of him are going around. And 23-year-old Corporal Dagan W. Page, Marines. Among the civilians killed were two British nationals, along with the child of another British family. In retaliation, the U.S. military carried out a drone strike against an ISIS target in northwestern Kabul, destroying a car bomb and killing 10 civilians. All 10 Afghan civilians killed in the strike were from the same family, 8 of which were children under the age of 18. I have not heard about that, actually. And there's been very limited media coverage on that. That's the first time I'm reading, actually.
Yeah, it's interesting that drone strike went off without a hitch. And I'm going to tell you now, why that's so fucked up. Not just the fact that the BDA, the battle damage assessment, reports back that it was a failure, and I would consider eight children and 10 civilian deaths overall in exchange for one car bomb an absolute failure when we have operators on the ground and certainly more precision strikes available to us than that, and better intelligence as well. I'm going to cruise on into the next story.
That's fine. Here.
So none of this had to happen. We know that the way that the drawdown happened was bullshit. We know that it didn't go the way that any normal human being would have planned this operation. Certainly not Millie, who was in Panama, was a member of the 82nd Airborne and Special Forces. Certainly not how Lloyd Austin, who is a member of the 82nd Airborne and who does this for a fucking living, right? This is what his entire career has been about, is these kinds of operations. We know that no normal human being would fucking do this shit. So we know it didn't have to happen there. But this bombing specifically didn't have to happen. And I'm going to ask you some rhetorical questions, which means you don't need to answer them. I'm going to ask them because I want you to think about them. What would you say if you knew that JSOC knew ahead of time who the suicide bomber was and that he was on his way to the Kabul airport and when he was going to get there, right? What would you say if you knew they had a Predator drone on him, on his location specifically, and had requested clearance to launch a strike to kill him? What would you say if the Pentagon and the Biden administration said no against the wishes of JSOC command? Because that is exactly what happened. Former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Western Hemisphere Affairs, that's a long title. He's a member of the Defense Department Intelligence sector, I guess, if you want to call it that. Roger Pardo Marr said he was being told that the story came out last night, that the Department of Defense knew ahead of time who the bomber was before the bombing, and they knew what time he was planning on attacking and where. Mm-hmm. He said not only did they know where and when it would happen, but they had a Predator drone lock on the bomber, but that, quote-unquote, they refused to grant permission to take the guy out. This is a quote from him. Permission was requested and denied. Why? Because we are in this process of negotiating with the Taliban, who aren't even in control of their own government or their own people. So because we were in, quote-unquote, negotiations with the Taliban at the time, we didn't stop a guy that we knew was on his way to kill American soldiers. Now, today, this originally popped up on Twitter, and then redstate.com, which is kind of a bit of a rag, to be honest, posted it. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to look into this. And I confirmed this is exactly what happened with two separate members on two separate ends of JSOC today. I've spoken to both of them. And this is exactly what fucking happened. I just want you to fucking sit with that for a minute and consider what the ramifications are for us moving forward of that information.
Why? Why didn't they stop it? Was there fear that it would have caused more fighting?
Because Joe Biden's administration and Milley and Austin's career and these other fucking idiots at State Department and their careers are more important than the lives of our soldiers. That's why. There's no other fucking conclusion to draw from this. They made a decision that it is more important for them to continue to persist in government in their roles than to protect the lives of UF service members who are just sitting there trying to evacuate. They're just, all they're doing, you saw this Marine walking around the day prior to this bombing,
right?
Just giving water to little kids who had been sitting in line for days and days in the fucking desert. That's who US service members are. That's who they are as people. It's why they joined the military. All this fucking hubbub about people being psychotic, and like Marines like to talk about it themselves, you know what I mean, about how crazy they are, and we do it too in the 82nd, the infantry, but in reality, the reason that people do this shit is to protect other people. That's who they are. And this is who Joe Biden is. This is who Mark Milley is. It's who Lloyd Austin is. They are fucking cunts. Every single one of them. And none of them deserve to breathe air on this planet.
Let me ask you this. What's going to happen now to this guy who came out?
I mean, I'm sure he'll fucking commit suicide. Right. Yeah. He'll fucking fall on a rake or something and it'll impale his brain. Who the fuck knows? But there's too many people now involved. Unless they're planning on taking out all of JSOC, this is not a Jack Carr novel. This is real life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So unless they're planning on taking out all of JSOC, this story will get told at some point to the public.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you do with that information. I mean, people are so... There's a fucking I stand with Biden hashtag on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, man? Like, if you voted for the guy, I hate this idea that fucking... people that have been posting, like, if you voted for Biden, this blood's on your hands. Okay, well, if you voted for Trump, that blood's on your hand. If you voted for Bush, all of this blood's on your hand. So shut the fuck up with that bullshit, all right? Because it's not helpful right now. But if you did vote for Biden and you're standing around protecting his ass now and making excuses, then fuck you. You're a coward and you're a piece of shit, right? That's just how it is.
When this story gets told, because I've seen a lot of people coming out and making videos and actually telling what's going on over there, and most of the comments underneath it have said, well, this guy just committed career suicide, you know, in the military.
Are you talking about the lieutenant colonel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing a lot of that now, and it maybe it's because of social media now versus, you know, when the war started, that's you're able to get your story out whenever you want at all times a day, and congratulations. Typically, this shit is pretty hidden, but this isn't. Why do you think that is?
Which shit specifically?
With what's going on of Afghanistan specifically? Of how this was handled.
This is the biggest story in the world right now. That's why. Right, the entire last 18 months, the globe, right, not just the international community, but everybody on Earth has been on their phone looking at news because of COVID, right? They want to see what the new thing is, what the new restriction is. Maybe they're on one side or the other politically. Maybe they're just curious. Maybe they're bored. I don't know. Maybe they're being stopped from doing something they want to do. Everybody's been primed for the last 18 months in a way that has never happened in human history to have their fucking entire focus on what's happening globally. And then they do this, right?
Right.
It's like the second guy who commits a foul in basketball always gets the foul call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was watching, and now you can't make this shit go away. So instead of making it go away, they're going to try to fucking overplay on every single event that happens. They're going to try to go wild on fucking Ida, and 25 people died there. Like, so that sucks so far, and I'm sure there'll be more.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Billions of dollars of loss. But that's a natural disaster, right? So what you're going to hear is recovery, blah, blah, blah. Then you're going to start hearing a bunch of shit about climate change. That's usually how that goes. And they're going to the federal government is going to lean in hard on this fucking Texas abortion shit, too. And they're going to try to get people's attention over here, right? And they're going to try to make this an issue of right versus left again. Not right versus wrong. And they'll probably succeed. Let's be real.
Yeah. I guess I'm shocked by it because people are willing to give up their career, and some of them have been in for a long time over this to say fuck you.
Yeah.
And make a video on YouTube or you know, Instagram or whatever. I guess that's what's the most shocking to me. Because the other guy was 18 years in? We were talking about yesterday. And then,
yeah, I mean, he looks, he's having some issues. I've seen some of his more recent posts. The post he made when he was tendering his resignation and shit like that seems like he's a little bit emotionally unstable to me. I mean, I can't blame the guy for being so upset, but hopefully he's getting whatever he needs, right?
Yeah. Next up, ad-wise, we get Cardomax Energy Intensifier. Cardomax.com, owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Matson. We love you, Sean. He was the one that hit us up last week during the news about them welding the gates and stuff like that. Sean's certainly in the know of what's going on over there as well. Support a veteran-owned company. Sean, grab me a bag of the Cardomax over there so we can pop it up on the old desk. You're going to have to physically get up out of your chair, Sean, to do it. Okay, got it. Is he?
Sean froze up again.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to blame Giorgio.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. We'll pop some on the desk here. There we go. Boom. Look at that. Blue raspberry. Been chugging this shit all day long after that 9-hour show last night. 15 calories, no carbs, no sugars, but a whole lot of fun. This is great for pre-workouts and shit too, man. You fire down one of these bags, you can pop it in water. I did one on RPR earlier this morning. Feeling great, by the way, surprisingly after last night. But here it is, kids. Boom. Just rip it open, squeeze it into any liquid you got, and you're ready to rock. No cans, no bullshit, nothing else. Just this tasty little bag. Go to cardomax.com today. Use the promo code DB for 30% off your next four orders. That is cardomax.com. Promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders. We love this shit. You're hiding it back there in the fucking kitchen, Giorgio. God damn it, dude. This is cold. So this was definitely in a place where we couldn't find it. Wow. I'll find your fucking stash, dude.
Giorgio looks like a guy who could probably hide drugs pretty well.
Yes, but I'm usually it's rectally with him.
Yeah. So just before we move on to this next bit about Pineapple Express, which is a really funny name.
Mm-hmm.
Just pull up CNN's website right now and look from left to right. You'll see at the top. I mean, they have their really small, quick links, but the actual bulk of the paper here. The full left side is dedicated to Ida, and you'll see a number of stories about that. And Biden says he'll press Congress on infrastructure after wildfires. When he says infrastructure, he means his like $2.5 trillion fucking bill he wants to pass.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in the middle, it's about how John Roberts has lost control of the Supreme Court. I'm not sure if the Chief Justice is supposed to have control of it.
No.
I think he's supposed to just be the Chief Justice, right?
That's it.
And then Biden's launching a whole of government approach and blah, 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 Roe v. Wade, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then down below that in the center, you'll see a very small portion of things about what's going on in Afghanistan. And the second little byline there is how white supremacists are praising Taliban.
Yeah, I've never heard any of this, by the way. Let's see, the Taliban's takeover has already pushed Afghanistan to the brink of economic collapse.
So they're talking about the Taliban, they're talking about how the Taliban is failing Afghanistan right now because their economy is bad. And they're talking about how white supremacists, which is what these motherfuckers have been telling you are the greatest threat to America for years now, are somehow all of a sudden like, oh, the Taliban's cool, man. Hell yeah. Like, yeah, I'm sure the 10,000 people in America out of the 330 million, by the way, which is a nominal amount, of retarded rednecks are sitting around clanging fucking beer steins over the Taliban. Pretty sure that's not happening. But it's not even about that. It's about how the only discussion on the front page here about what's happening in Afghanistan, which is Biden's biggest failure, and it may be the biggest failure of any modern U.S. president. The talk isn't about his failure. It's about how ugly American politics are, white supremacists, and how the Taliban isn't good at economics.
Yeah.
So get fucking fucked, dude. If you think these people have an honest bone in their body, the only way they would have an honest bone in their body is if I bent them over and put my dick inside them.
It might be the line of the year. We're only in September here.
Wow. We got a couple of months left.
Yeah. Next up, Operation Pineapple Express is obviously the title of this episode. I do love the title. I don't know why they named it that. While U.S. troops have officially withdrawn from Afghanistan, independently organized rescue operations are underway to evacuate as many American citizens and Afghan allies as possible. One of these groups is Task Force Pineapple, a group of former special ops soldiers, including retired Green Berets and SEAL team commanders who are carrying out rescue operations in Afghanistan.
Right. So this, well, I'll continue reading. We'll get to
that. The Task Force Pineapple has already successfully rescued hundreds of U.S. and Afghan citizens in an operation codenamed Pineapple Express. The operation began after an Afghan commando the men had served with contacted them and told them he was stranded and on the run from the Taliban. The special ops soldiers devised a system with U.S. troops at the airport where evacuees would identify themselves with the password pineapple or show the guards a picture of a pineapple on their phone. Is this how this works?
Before they were able to get some buses and drive out into the city by themselves, which they also did, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And like 13 dudes drove out into these cities with no air cover and started grabbing people and bringing them back. I just want that to be clear. So, yeah, yes, this is all true.
That's crazy. Once the evacuees were identified, the U.S. troops would shuttle them to awaiting planes so they could be evacuated. After rescuing all of their allies, Task Force Pineapple defied the Biden administration's restrictions and began venturing outside of the U.S. perimeter to rescue other allies trapped in Kabul. As of last Thursday, the group had evacuated almost 500 Afghan commandos and interpreters, along with their families, as well as 130 children and pregnant women.
But that's not even, that's about 620 or so people. The total amount that this operation was able to get out, including people who were applicants or recipients of special immigrant visas, was more like 6,000, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people.
A lot of fucking people. This is going to be a movie one day. They're obviously going to have to change the name.
If anybody will
finance it.
If anybody will in Hollywood will allow it to be made. Yeah.
Give it 10 years, you know? Let it change a couple administrations, and then they might. Did you know anybody personally in this? In this task force?
You fucking serious? You know somebody personally who was in this. You all know somebody personally who was in this. His name is Jimothy Tennedy or something like that. I don't remember his fucking name.
Something like that. I'd like to get him on the show and ask him how this all shook out and went down over there.
Yeah, we'll have to.
And what kind of help they did or didn't get over there?
Well, I mean, he's still an active duty guy, so I don't know if he's going to be able to comment about that. But we can probably reach out to one of the other guys.
Yeah,
Scott Mann. He's a former lieutenant colonel or a retired lieutenant colonel, and he was pretty much he was. He's a Green Beret.
Okay,
was.
Was.
Is. I don't know. Yeah. But we could probably, he's out, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
It'd be great to get him on the show. Next up, Drinking Bros merch. We got it, kids. Hats are in stock. $40 hats are in there. These are the most comfortable goddamn things. These are Flex Fit, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I got them.
Yeah. And that's why they're $40. Mm. We also wanted to keep the running joke going of a $40 hat that we were doing with Black Rifle Coffee a long time ago as well. We get everything in there. Cups, mugs, all the Defund Politicians merch is in there as well. I know you guys have seen it everywhere and people wearing it. Dan actually came up with it. So it's on our website. And
it's on a lot of people's websites now.
Apparently. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just go to drinkingbros.com/store. And get all the merch. Everything's in there. Stickers, hoodies, mugs, you name it. We got it over there. And also, you can submit to Drinking Bro of the Week, which comes in live to our inbox at the end of the show. And we read it live on air. So the submissions are on drinkingbros.com as well. So check it out. We got everything in there. We're fully stocked in there. Is that Defund Politicians shaker in there? That mug?
Yeah.
That's
dope. Mugs are in there, yeah.
Look at that. Look at that, kids. Next up, the Taliban take a victory lap with American equipment. Now, these photos have been everywhere, Dan. As the last U.S. troops left Afghanistan, Taliban soldiers mocked the withdrawal by parading coffins draped with American flags through the streets of the city of Khost. Around $83 billion worth of military equipment was left in Afghanistan and has found a new home with the Taliban. On Wednesday, the Taliban held a parade celebrating the withdrawal of American troops and showing off their new toys. On the highway towards Afghanistan's second largest city of Kandahar, the Taliban drove a long line of armored vehicles while a Black Hawk helicopter circled overhead. Did they get the keys to this? How do you get the keys to the fucking trucks is what I couldn't figure out.
Oh God, I'm so glad you said that. Oh my God. You have no idea how large of a joke it is to tell somebody to go get the Humvee keys. Because there are no goddamn keys, motherfucker. It's like going, go get some range fans or go get some Chemlight batteries or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? It's not real.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a real thing.
So they just start?
Diesel. So you flip a switch, glow plugs, heat up, and then you fucking turn it on. Man. Wait, did you? Yeah, you should have learned this from Range 15. Somebody just brought that up.
Yeah,
because there's a scene in there about that.
I know. Here's the thing. I didn't know whether it was true or false.
Blinker fluid. That's another one too. Brittany just brought up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real. That's like one of the. It's one of the most common jokes in the military to hit new guys with. Right, like if some kid's being annoying or something, or you just want to fuck with him, you're like, "Hey, go find the goddamn Humvee keys now, motherfucker! You're not going home all weekend." And then you just go take a shit or whatever, and then he shows up 10 hours later, and you're like, "I forgot I even sent you out there." To be honest,
there's
no such thing as Humvee keys. Get the fuck out of my office.
It's funny. A couple of us wrote that. I think Nick Pomisciano. That's
definitely
wrote that
from
line.
Nick. Yeah, 100%.
I'll give Nick Pomisciano a shout out. He wrote that scene.
In between that and the fucking officer speeches, that's Nick 101.
Yes. Yeah. So he wrote that scene. That's funny, dude. From Range 15. Now the helicopter, the Blackhawks thing is shocking because you wouldn't figure they would know how to fly it. They got one up in the air and then they hung a guy off of it.
Yeah. I actually heard that was a dude in a harness or some shit.
Yeah,
he was
in a harness.
He
was waving.
Oh, God. So that's still a fun thing.
He was attempting to fix a Taliban flag from the harness, and they're airlifting him up there to place said flag, and unfortunately he was unable to erect that flag.
Huh. You don't say. All right.
That's probably true. They're fucking idiots, dude. I mean, that's something that a fucking dum-dum would do.
Yeah.
But this isn't the problem with all this stuff. The vehicles, the 40,000 light tactical vehicles are probably more problematic than the Humvees, because unless we removed all the equipment, because there's all kinds of fucking cool equipment on there. The mine resistant vehicles, now they can fucking send those over to China and Russia, and China and Russia can reverse engineer how to fucking defeat those mine defenses. That's great, right?
Yeah.
It's not about the Taliban figuring out how to use all this shit. We're not going to see them. We're not going to see helicopters coming over the horizon into America. That shit's not happening. What they're going to do is sell that equipment to our enemies, and they're going to reverse engineer it and make better shit.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked on, God, where was I? Was I on, was that American Party? I do so much shit now, I can't remember. But anyways, if you are Raytheon or General Dynamics or Boeing or Lockheed or any of these companies, right, and you have a next generation series of weapons, but the military doesn't need it because they're already so far ahead of everybody else, it's not the worst thing that could ever happen. You know, you could fucking maybe just give it to the enemy. Like, oh, shit. But, you know, we got this new $6 trillion worth of stuff over here that can defeat all that. So don't worry about it. Just sign this check and bend over.
I was watching it, the Bin Laden raid came to my mind when I watched it, because when that helicopter got clipped and went down, right, they fucking blew it up.
You put a Willie Pete grenade, a white phosphorus grenade in there, and it melts through all the camo, basically.
Right? And so my question is, why didn't they do that for all of this shit as well?
I don't know. Well, actually, the Taliban put out some statement, and I can't tell if this is real or not. I've seen people that I like post it, and I usually don't like people who repost untrue shit.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's real. But the Taliban's like upset that we disabled some of the stuff before we left. They're like mad at us and feel betrayed.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was true.
I can't tell
either,
if that's true, but if it is true, it's so fucking funny, man. I mean, funny in a way that makes you want to fucking die, but funny all the same.
That's the best exclamation for all of this.
Yeah.
It funny really is. Makes you want to die. I just, when I see all these pictures of all the shit we left, I'm like, why don't we just torch it? Or just light it on fire or blow it up like before we left.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. Look, none of this has made any fucking sense to me. But it's at least worth the question of asking, why would you just leave all that shit there?
Hey, why not?
To the guy who figured out how to fly the fucking helicopter, though. Damn. You know?
It's certainly more difficult to fly a helicopter than it is a fixed wing aircraft.
Yeah.
But they're not going to fucking figure it out for long, man.
They looked like they were having a good time.
Yeah, they got out like 40 feet off the ground. It's not the flying it. Dakota's actually made this point a number of times too. Flying it isn't the problem. It's the upkeep, like making sure everything is maintained, the maintenance on that stuff. Yeah, they have none of the equipment to do that shit.
Right.
They don't understand the engineering of it. There's like one dude from the Afghan military who can fly it. They have him at gunpoint and tells them to fly him around.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one that was fun was that picture where they rolled into the news reporter and made him get on live on air with just at gunpoint and announce like how great the Taliban was live on air on TV there.
It looked like a Monty Python video to me. It starts on the dude and there's like two there's like two people next to him, and he's like, "Hey guys, I just want to let you know," and it pans out a little bit and it's like fucking two armed dudes, like, "God damn it." Like, "Hey, everything's cool. We like the Taliban and there's no reason to worry." And as he's saying that, it's like 14 more dudes with guns standing behind him. Jesus Christ.
I have a theory on that one. Okay. So that one I think I can explain.
It seemed like satire to me. That's stupid as shit.
Well, I think, here's my guess, because they don't know how to work fucking cameras either, television cameras. So my guess is the cameraman knew in his mind, and he was like, "All right, if we're going to read this prepared statement about how great the Taliban is, let's just slowly fucking pan out and then show 40 of these motherfuckers with guns.
Show, don't tell."
Yeah.
First rule of film school.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you want to avoid expositional dialogue. That's what you'll hear that a lot if you go to film school.
I really hope they don't figure it out, because then Ross is going to be angry if their program looks better than ours. He's going to be coming after me.
The fucking Taliban starts a podcast.
Yeah.
The Talicast. It's the same intro music, but it's like
Talibros.
Or whatever the fuck at the beginning. I don't know if Danny Warsaw is going to be happy they're using his music for the Taliban podcast.
Welcome to Talibros, brought to you by goatsmilk.com. Jesus Christ, dude.
We're living in a fucking sim world, brother.
We are.
Oh, this is all real.
This stage.
This is all fucking real. This is in Al Jazeera. They were fucking pissed off. That some of the stuff wasn't in working condition. Here's a quote from the goddamn Taliban. Well, from a fighter in the Taliban, which is like talking to a private in the army. So who knows what this even means. But he says, he asks why they believe the equipment should have been left in working condition. And the guy from the Taliban says, "Because we believe it is a national asset and we are the government now. And this could have come to great use for us."
Yeah.
He actually said that shit out loud.
That's awesome. That's fucking
awesome. I mean, that's real good.
You gave it to the Afghani army. No takesies, backsies.
Yeah, no. But the Taliban's not the Afghan army, is it?
I know. Don't understand that. Yeah.
No. Next up, ad-wise, we got purejerkyco.com. Local Austin, Texas jerky company that we've partnered up with. We love their jerky. This is like the greatest thing of all time. Total accident, by the way. A friend of a friend sent it in, and we ate all of it, and then we immediately called him. We're like, "Hey, dude, it's the best jerky we've ever had. We'd love to work together." Local company just getting going here. Purejerkyco.com. That is co.com. Two amazing flavors. They got the mild and then they got the sweet and spicy. Famous chef here in Austin was the one that made the mixes of this. Why it tastes different. You can get four packs for $25, eight for $50. And then this box right here is full of it for $70. And it's there's a fucking shit ton in there. They've also got a subscription, which I am a member of already, to keep it away from these fucking jackals. Because no lie, this is empty. This is a showbox now, because all these fucks have eaten it. Go to purejerkyco.com, promo code Drinking Bros. We get you 10% off there. Get a subscription of it, dude. It's the best. If you've had a better jerky, I've said this before and I'll say it again, you can slap me in the face. However, you must give me the jerky and say, "Here's what beat this one." And I'll be happy to receive that slap.
Yeah. Pure goat jerky. Right, is the ad, and then it turns around. I'm borrowing from two chat members here. It turns around, and it's Delco and Giorgio and fucking Sean over there, and they're like, "Hey, we love working for this company," and it pans out, and there's just three armed Taliban dudes behind them. You can thank Sherry Champagne and, who said that, Jacob Nickel for those two comments, for that little mashup.
Cool.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah, man. So go to purejerkyco.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros for 10% off there. Next up, teacher admits to indoctrinating students and praising a mass murderer.
Well, look, the left likes to praise mass murderers all the time.
Right? Yeah. Project Veritas back at it again. Not that we're huge fans, but police are getting something out there. Released a video showing. I'm gonna botch this name.
Hold on. Where is it?
Anonymous. Yeah, I think it's unanimous. We'll go with that. Unified school district teacher admitting to trying to radicalize his students. Gabriel Geip, an AP government teacher from...
Endurcum High School in Sacramento.
This is a fucking test today. Yeah. This is a game. Caught on a hidden camera interview saying he uses fear to convince his students to align with his views.
Yeah.
During the video, he states, "I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries." My God, man. That's fucking insane.
Yeah, he says he keeps an Antifa flag on the wall in his classroom, and one student said it made them uncomfortable. And according to Gippy, he says, "I have an Antifa flag on my wall. A student complained about that and said it made them feel uncomfortable. Well, it's meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable. I don't really know what to tell you. Maybe you shouldn't be aligning with the values that the flag is antithetical to."
Where was this, by the way? What state?
Sacramento.
Dude.
Sacramento. Is
California?
Yeah. But that's not a terribly liberal area. Not like the Bay Area or Silicon Valley, or certainly not LA.
Yeah.
Sacramento is a little bit more like Orange County, I would say. Not all of it, but parts of it are. So maybe this is one of the crazier parts of it. But this guy is a piece of shit. By the way, if you just search for his name, Gabriel Geipe, like I said, I think yesterday, you can. His email address is on the fucking website of the school district, right? So you just look that shit up and tell him hi.
For me, with this story and the next one we have coming up here about San Francisco, we're 12 days away from the recall of Gavin Newsom. These stories about California are not great right before this all happens. Do you think, because Larry Elder right now is in a dead heat, allegedly, according to the media, with Gavin Newsom, do you think there's any shot that he gets in?
I don't know. Soros is spending a ton of money. I think he's a million in on Newsom's campaign so far. That's usually not a good thing. Right. I don't really know who this Larry Elder guy is.
He's actually a conservative talk show radio host.
I know all that, but I don't know him. Right. He hasn't been in public life, in my view, for a long time, at least. And I just don't know who he is, or I don't know how he's seen in California. I mean, he checks some boxes, right? He's a black dude. That helps.
Yeah.
It at least defeats the idea that he's just another white man.
Although white supremacist.
That white man stuff doesn't seem to matter when you're a fucking liberal, right? But,
right.
I don't know much about the guy, but it seems like Newsom is in trouble. I think it'll depend. When's the election's this month, right? September?
It's 12 days.
Yeah, so I think
12 days.
Newsom's best bet is to hide,
mm-hmm.
because if anything else goes wrong, he's losing. And to be honest,
yes.
The early returns on mail-in voting is not a lot. Young people are not voting in this, and they never do. They don't vote in midterms. They don't vote in special elections.
Right.
So Larry Elder's got a pretty good chance of winning, yes.
Yeah, because you did one. That's why I asked, right?
Yeah.
Did you do a recall election in Wisconsin?
Yeah, what we found was even a lot of people on that side of the political aisle, on the opposite side of the political aisle, were not voting for or against a candidate, but the idea of recall in the first place, right? A lot of people were like, well, why are we doing a do-over?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I truly have no idea. Look, lived in California for a long time. California is beautiful. There's no reason they should have this many fucking problems.
Yeah.
It's just their goddamn politics.
Joshua James here in the chat said they told Kamala to stay away too. That's absolutely true.
Yes.
Yeah. She was on her way to go campaign with them and then fucking got in a plane and turned around and went back.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because of Afghanistan.
Right.
But I'm sure that worked out pretty well for Newsom, because nobody wants to see that bitch walk around.
She's not very likable, and no. She's been invisible.
Yeah, she should be invisible
during the last few months here.
If that administration has any sense, they will fucking keep her out of the spotlight. I mean, Joe Biden is Junior Soprano right now, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen The Sopranos, but he's the fucking dum-dum. That's the boss,
right,
or whatever, but he's not involved in any of the day-to-day decisions. That is what it appears to be happening. So, but let's close this Gippy dude out. So he states he keeps a calendar of upcoming protests, and he gives his students extra credit for attending those protests.
Yeah.
which is kind of weird.
That's great.
He
shows that he cares, Dan.
In addition to an Antifa flag, he keeps a picture of Mao Zedong on his wall and praises the communist dictator while brushing aside the atrocities Mao committed. Now, Mao Zedong is responsible for more deaths than any other human being that has ever existed on this planet.
56 million, something like that?
Somewhere in that range. Somewhere between 56 and 63 million. No disease, nothing has ever even come close to how many people this guy's killed, just so we're clear about that.
It's crazy.
He says, in reference to the so-called cultural revolution carried out by Mao, Geip says, quote, the cultural revolution of the 60s was fixing the problem that came about after the economic one. People were definitely, you know, shot in the streets that probably shouldn't have been. The cultural revolution he's referring to is led by the deaths of millions of Chinese civilians. Geip also claims that there are at least three other teachers at the school that share his values. The school district,
I'm sure they're stoked, by the way.
It's Natomas, by the way, has subsequently released a statement saying they are looking into the situation and they don't condone his actions. I believe he's on, I don't know if he's
administrative
on leave.
Or?
I don't know if he's on leave yet, but that woman who said that she replaced the American flag with the fucking pride flag or whatever she is on administrative leave.
She's on her way out,
yeah. Probably. Yeah.
There are reports that he will be removed right now. He's called removed.
Yep. Jesus Christ, man. If I was at that school, I would lose my fucking mind.
He also graded my students' papers with stamps of Joseph Stalin, Fidel Castro, and Kim Jong-un to mark completed work.
Great. Great. You know what would have happened to that guy in the fucking 50s?
Kim Jong-un.
As reported here.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe you just like the haircut.
It's a great haircut.
I actually saw a video. Somebody sent me a TikTok video the other day. I don't have TikTok, but you can watch it on the web.
Drinker Bros Podcast is on there. We got clips. Do. Our social media lady puts clips up there.
Anyway, somebody sent me this video, and it was a dude at a fucking, it was a Korean dude at he's like an American, but he's a Korean guy at an American barbershop getting his hair cut. Like fucking Kim Jong-un. It is so fucking funny. Like I don't know if he was blindfolded before or whatever, but the guy comes over and hands him the mirror in the reveal. And it was just like, it looked just like him.
That's great.
Yeah. It's really funny. So if you're out there and you're Korean,
hey, give it a go. You know, might be a fun flirty look for the fall and for Tinder. Mm. Last but not least here, San Francisco solves the gun violence problem by paying criminals to not shoot anyone. I heard about this story and I didn't think it was real, and then I read into it and it turns out
is this any dumber than giving people donuts to get a vaccination that for a virus that targets fat people specifically and old people? I mean, shit, which one's dumber? I don't know.
San Francisco's in the process of rolling out a pilot program that will pay high-risk individuals for not shooting anyone. The city has recently seen a spike in gun violence and is looking into the novel solution for the problem. The Dream Keeper Fellowship is going to pay 10 individuals who are at risk of being on either end of a shooting $300 for each month. It
Jesus
will go
Christ. So if you just don't
shooting somebody,
if you don't need $300 that month, you can go ahead and clip somebody. And how do they prove whether they shot somebody or not? Are you fucking kidding me?
Participants in the program will be assigned life coaches who will track their progress and will be eligible to receive an additional $200 per month for working, going to school, or being a mediator in a potentially violent situation. The payments will be made the form of gift cards and will be monitored by the managers of the program.
What, to make sure they don't use the gift cards to go buy ammo and shit? You're fucking kidding me, dude.
Surprisingly, a similar program was carried out in Richmond, California in 2019 and was credited with reducing gun homicides by 55%. Unfortunately, the numbers were a little skewed due to the one-third of the participants dropping out of the program or being arrested within the first 6 months. If you're short on cash and capable of not shooting anyone for 30 days, head on over to San Francisco for an easy payday. They're looking for participants like you, Dan.
This is really dumb. It's really dumb. We've tried this with terror organizations before. With FARC, there have been stand downs. Somebody actually, I think, mentioned it here in the chat. Who was it? Womb Raider. The sons, quote unquote, sons of Iraq. He said that from 07 to 08, I was there at the same time dealing with those assholes. Sons of Iraq, by the way, were the people who eventually became ISIS in Iraq, so that's cool.
Okay.
Anyways, trained all these dudes up, then paid them not to shoot people. That was pretty dope.
That's great.
Yeah. All they do is they're playing a different game, right? So let's say you're playing a basketball with a game. In your mind, it's a 5-minute game, and in my game, it's a 10-minute game,
yeah,
right? So in your mind, at 5 minutes, the score is 10-9 and you win. But I keep playing and I end up outscoring you.
Yeah.
Because now I've won. Because we're playing two different fucking games. These people are making some very large assumptions about the benevolence of people who sell drugs and murder people for a living. That seems like a fucking weird stretch to make, honestly. But it also seems weird that we would leave the Taliban with $89 billion worth of equipment and then expect them to be good people when they're driving around the former security director for Osama bin Laden.
Oh, boy.
Clown world is where you live now, folks. Get used to it.
I don't like this stage in the simulation that we're in, D'Anthony. I want it to end, and hopefully it'll end tonight. With the live watch at Ohio State. Now it's time to get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. Again, go to drinkingbros.com and get some sweet merch, and you can also make your submission for Drinking Bro of the Week. This one was submitted by Matt Wade from Indiana, who's been a listener since 2018, and he's nominating all the Drinking Bros hosts and crew. Reason for the nomination, he says, I've loved this show and the community since day one that I discovered it. And quite honestly, you've gotten me all through some really tough times the last couple years. It wasn't that it was just a rough time for me personally, but you guys always come in clutch with the laughs, patriotism, and everything else you guys do. I respect and appreciate everything you guys stand for and what you guys do for us veterans, first responders, and all walks of life. I hope to meet you guys one day. Okay, I'll stop sucking your dicks now. I love you. Cheers. Keep on keeping on, fuckers. cheers. Cheers. And yeah, hey, look, man, we closed on the new property. That went through yesterday. So, you know, as soon as we're working on it now, like the financing to open up the bar and the new studios and all that stuff. And once that's open, you will literally be able to see it from the highway. It's on Highway 290 here in Austin, Texas. And you can just pop on in for a beer, grab some merch, or grab a photo. We also have people that just pop in the studio. If you're in Austin, Texas, yeah, you can come in, watch the show, and hang. I know a couple people flew in from out of town. They want to come do the live watch tonight for the game. Come on in. We're here. We're actually the same people that you see on your television every day on the old used tubes or through the ear holes.
I'm actually quite iTunes. A bit whiter.
In real life?
Yeah, I'm super white.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm okay. Extremely. I feel like I might have a problem, actually.
I've got a nice tan now that we've got the pool. I mean,
well, you can tell how white I am by look at the difference.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Look at that. That's normal. This is from the lake this weekend, just like one day.
That's you've got a decent tan, though. I'm surprised you get tan.
It doesn't go any farther than that. That's because I've been wearing this same T-shirt since I was like 12 years old.
That T-shirt is available on DrinkingBros.com.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It's great. So this is hats.
Yeah.
Look, kids, flip on over to Drinking Bros Sports YouTube here at 6 o'clock. Is that when we're going, or 5:30?
Isn't there a draft?
Yes, we're popping in with Joe. So we're gonna chat with Joe for about 20 minutes. Boston Joe.
It's like 5:30?
Yeah, so like 5:30 Central, right? Yeah, 6:30 Eastern. We'll pop in with Boston Joe and the guys from Tailgate Legends. Their fantasy football draft is getting kicked off here. And then we'll be watching the Ohio State University play Minnesota, as well as UCF against Boise, which will be a great game as well. And we'll be having some drinks, some laughs, and we hope you join us over there. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.